T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
5:05 on a Monday, as the introduction suggests. My name is indeed Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter at JWright929ESPN. Cue up the James Taylor.
Because the one, the only.
That's a special time, Jeffrey.
Jeff Calkins is here. Jeff,
I know actually it's a pretty somber day for Jeff. I think you attended a...
I believe you started at a funeral, and can you set the scene for us from...
It was John Kilzer's. It was John Kilzer's service today at St. John's Methodist, and it was, I mean, every funeral's sad, right? But I will say it was... Well, two things about it. It was the best funeral probably I've ever been to, because it was, there were remarks, but in between you had just unbelievable musicians playing fantastic music. So it was rollicking and beautiful. It was fantastic. I mean, the music was just out of this world. Brad Martin spoke, and Scott Morris spoke, and others spoke, and as has emerged, and I guess this is the other thing to say about it, is as has emerged over the, I guess it was a week ago that he died, and I wrote a column about it when it happened, and other people have written about it, and then as has emerged, I knew this, but I didn't write about it because I didn't think it was my story to tell, and I was writing a column, I wasn't writing a news story, but as has emerged, John Kilzer, who of course was a Memphis basketball player, who became a rock star, who became an addict, who became a minister, who led a recovery ministry in town and not just touched, but transformed thousands of lives. He committed suicide while he was at Hazelden, and he had relapsed. And I think that what is stunning about it all, and why I think so many people are rocked, is it's just a reminder how evil this thing is, this thing that is addiction, and people who deny that it's a disease are just look at John Kilzer. There he is. He's literally leading a recovery ministry, helping thousands of people, and yet he relapses, and because he's in the position that he's in, where he is a leader of a recovery ministry, and you almost have to, you're not allowed to be fallible, right? You feel like you've let people down, and so I think there's even added shame. I think there's shame that comes with addiction, period, a lot of it, and I think that that's doubly so when you're in the position that John was in. And so I think it's just a reminder that how many people are carrying burdens around and how deep their burdens are. And I mean, there was a lot of, in the end, a celebration. John used to say that he was going to, he'd love you and there's nothing you could do to stop him from loving you. And I think that's how people feel about John. There's obviously, whenever someone takes their own life, there's a certain amount of anger and bewilderment and at it. But there was really also just an outpouring of love at the way that John had touched so many people, and a reminder that you never completely have it licked, and that every day is a new day, and whether your struggle or my struggle is addiction or something else, that, you know, we all just do the best we can in any given day. So it was a beautiful, emotional, wonderful service, and I was privileged to be there. And and to have known John a little bit. So there's a lot of people in Memphis who obviously doing a lot better than I did, and he touched a lot of people in all his different capacities, whether it's basketball player or rock star or recovery minister, or heck, there are people who've written me who said he was my favorite professor at the University of Memphis, because somewhere in there also, by the way, he was an English teacher, an English professor at the University of Memphis. And so it was sad, but it was affirming for me, and it was a reminder that, you know, life, this is, we can get all upset about whatever, about the seeding, whether Tennessee has to play Cincinnati, but in the end, people are carrying bigger stuff around. So I was glad to have gone, and I'm a better man for it. So,
from a former Memphis Tiger basketball player to the current Memphis Tiger basketball team,
yeah,
we've now seen, we've seen the completion of the regular season, we've seen the completion of the conference tournament. We now know that the Tigers will return to the postseason. They will take on the University of San Diego in the NIT. But let's talk some big picture stuff. We mentioned coming into this season that Penny Hardaway had checked all of the boxes that he needed to check before the season started. We obviously know with the renewed interest and enthusiasm in the program, we saw what the turnstiles looked like with Penny Hardaway. And now we got the first full season of Penny Hardaway, the basketball coach, with the product on the floor. What did you make of his first full season now that you've got to see it in its entirety?
Well, I was listening to y'all when you had Gary on, and I fundamentally agree. I just don't. It was fabulous. It was on everybody, and I think you just have to look a year ago. It was literally a year ago yesterday that he was cutting. Penny was won the state championship as a high school coach, and here we are a year later, and in every single respect, the program is better off than it was then, every single way. So I didn't need. People would always say, "Wow, if you get an NIT bid, is that successful?" And I just didn't think an NIT bid particularly mattered one way or another. It would have been too bad. I mean, it was obvious that they were going to get one. We've known for a while now they're going to get at least an NIT bid. To me, the only significance of the NIT bid, beyond we get one more night of having the Tigers at FedEx Forum, and we get to say goodbye to Jeremiah Martin one more time, this time for good. And so you get all that, but the significance of it simply is it is an affirmation of the work that he's actually done on the court, which was one of the questions about Penny. There are a lot, really. Would he really be able to deliver the recruits? People can say now that they said, oh, yeah, well, of course he was going to get those people. I don't think everyone was saying, of course he's going to get James Wiseman, of course he's going to get DJ Jeffries to commit from Kentucky, a player has ever done from Kentucky under John Calipari. Get both Alex Lomax and Tyler Harris, of course. Like, that's simply not true, that everyone thought, of course, he was going to get them all. It was a question of, would he get them all? Let's just see. We thought he'd be a good recruiter, but you still have to do it. I think the safest bet was that he was going to sell tickets, which he obviously did, and so we knew that. And then there was a question about the public Penny. Would he embrace that part of the job? And that's been crazy how much better at that he is than we imagined. And then there was the Kenny coach, or is he just a glorified roll-out-the-ball AAU coach, which is what a lot of folks like to say. And I always thought that was ridiculous, because if Penny had been anyone but Penny, they would have said he was a guy who worked his way up, that worked as a high school coach and an AAU coach and was a grinder. But because he's Penny Hardaway superstar, people assumed he just sort of waltzed into the job, which is the last thing that happened. He didn't just waltz into the job at all. And so now the season's done. I think the NIT bid is significant in that for those folks who might want to say, oh, hey, look, they've got the same record as last year. They did in the tournament exactly what they did last year, which was to get to the semifinals and play an exciting tournament game in the semifinals and then lose. You might want to pretend that this year is like last year, except then you realize that he's basically 100 points higher at KenPom and dramatically higher in the RPI. And like it is a and that last year, there wasn't even a discussion. There was no even suspense on NIT day. It was not even a prayer of getting into the NIT. And now we knew they were going to get in the NIT as a three seed. And so it's just affirmation of the job that he did purely on the court. And so that was good. I don't think an NIT, you know, people sometimes think an NIT bid is, okay, this is great. We're gonna go to the NIT, and then that's going to be the stepping stone. And next year, we're going to go into the NCAA tournament, and it's going to just be a steady climb upward. Well, that may or may not be true. With that, for John Calipari, he goes into the NIT the first year. He has the number one player in the country coming in next year. And guess what happens?
NIT.
NIT goes back to the NIT.
But we did get a parade, Jeff. We got a parade out of it.
He does get a parade. But like that next year, he did the first year just like Penny did. And then the second year did not go according to plan. It's not just automatic that you go from here to the next step. And so the next step will be interesting, and we'll see how it goes. Josh Pastner, he had the same thing. Goes to the NIT first year. He doesn't have the best player in America, but he has a great recruiting class coming in with Tarek and Joe and Crawford and that whole group. And Will Barton, I mean, they had an incredible recruiting class coming in. And he did go to the NCAA tournament that next year. And then things sort of kept going to the NCAA tournament, but never really took off from there. So we don't know how this is going to go exactly. It's usually very few coaches just have a slanted line all the way to the top, always getting better every year. But this was certainly an auspicious beginning, and I just don't know. That's not true. I know how it could have been better. If you look back at it, you could have said, oh, if they could have just beaten Texas Tech or just beaten LSU or just beaten Cincinnati or just beat Charles Charleston, they'd actually be in the actual tournament. So that's how it could have been better. But it's hard, really, on any practical sense, it's hard to imagine how it could have been better. It's been a great, wonderful resurgent year for that basketball program.
You said coming into the season that your expectation for this team was to make the NIT tournament, and anything beyond that, you would view as a rousing success. Now, knowing what we have with this entire recruiting class, knowing what they're likely going to look like, they obviously are going to probably at least add one more name to this recruiting class. What are your expectations going to be for this program next year?
Well, first of all, I don't think I said, I just didn't care about the NIT tournament. And I thought it was a rousing success, not just beyond NIT tournament. I thought it would have been a rousing success without the NIT tournament. But in terms of next year, I think it's just like I said, like the expectations with DeJuan Wagner were that you were going to go to the NCAAs, and you didn't. The expectations when you added Derrick Rose were you going to go to a championship, and you did. So sometimes they come true, sometimes they don't. I am interested to see two things. One is, what will the staff be like coming back? You talked to Gary about that as well. And I think the staff has worked really well together. I think they can coach. And I think some of that is clearly Penny. There's no question. But I do think some of that is, I mean, Mike, I think, has proven to be a really good coach. And Sam Weiner, you know, former NBA Coach of the Year. So what's going to happen with the staff, I think, will be interesting. And what will happen with recruiting will be interesting. If you're telling me that the guards are the guards that they have right now, I'll be a little concerned about that. If you're telling me that they are going to add more guards, whether shooters, whether it's Lester Kadonis or whether it's graduate transfers or whoever it is, that's different. Are they going to get Trendon Watford? I don't know. And some of that's all tied up with the assistants, right? I mean, Mike Miller's been tied to the UNLV job or whatever, other jobs, and he's the primary recruiter on some of these guys. So if they are exactly what they are right now, I can see potential to go out and crush people, but I can also see, I'm going to be a little worried about the guard position just because they're dinky. And you were there. I know you take it.
That's what she said.
I know you take it personally when the opposing band is singing it's a small world after all. But
I'm calling, just saying, be a little more clever, you know. just have some better jokes. Like low-hanging fruit. You know, I'm just sorry. I'm not a low-hanging fruit guy.
I don't even know. I forget whether it was they were calling I forget whether they were calling A-Lo or Tyler Harris tater tot, but it may have been both of them because they both are kind of tater tots, right? I mean, you know. So you need them to take a step forward. I don't know whether Damian Baugh is going to be able to step in, but right now, let's be honest about it. Jeremiah Martin, this season was carried along by Jeremiah Martin. I think James Wiseman is going to be every bit the player, different kind of player than Jeremiah Martin was. But I don't just take it for granted that they're going to come in next year and win 28 games and be a 3 seed or a 2 seed. So I think there are some questions yet to be answered in terms of what the roster looks like. And if you can tell me, if you can answer those questions for me, I will tell you, I'll have a better sense of what I think the team is going to do. They're very clearly going to be better up front. And we saw that. I mean, they were dominated by Houston. In the end, they got back into that Houston game with Rennear Thornton, who proved to be a tough guy and a really good player, and they're going to miss him. But then four guards. That's what they did. Because Mike Parks, you could not count on him on, you know. And Isaiah Maurice had an unbelievably great game against UCF, but he was missing in action against Houston. They just didn't have bigs you could count on. And I think next year they will have bigs you can count on with some learning to be done. But what will the backcourt look like? We don't know yet, and I'll be interested to see. But the future is clearly bright. I imagine ticket sales will continue to go through the roof, and so it should be fun. But I don't take for granted that it's necessarily going to be, you know, just pencil them in as a 3 seed next year.
Jeff Calkins joining us here on the program, as he does each and every day here on the Gary Parrish Show. Jeffrey sitting in for Gary. And, of course, the other big news of the weekend, Johnny Manziel is now a member of the Memphis Express. Jeff, I will admit, I was scared. There's really no other way to say it. I've been hurt by Johnny. I've put my heart on the line. And truth be told, I don't feel like he...
You're vulnerable.
I don't think he took the proper care of my emotions. But they say if you really love something and someone and you let him go and that person comes back to you, then it's really meant to be. So I've decided I'm going all in. I've seen the early pictures of Johnny at practice. I'm all in. And
let me ask you this. If I wanted to buy a Manziel Express jersey
today.
Oh,
good question.
Could I?
They should have lots of those.
You wanted to buy an Express jersey,
could you? That's a terrific question.
You?
That's the question of the day.
Can I order it online? Can I get a Manziel Express jersey?
I don't think you can at this point. I haven't seen it.
All right, hang on. I'm on the shop.
All in should involve having a, do they sell jerseys? Like, do they have
jerseys?
Yes, so
you can buy them at Dick's Sporting Goods.
So you can buy a Memphis Express jersey, number 19. If you ask me who the heck number 19 is, don't, because I have no clue. I'm presuming it's just for the year.
You should have a link up for that.
19.
Can I get a Hackenberg jersey? Like, do they sell personalized Hackenberg jerseys?
So far, the only jerseys I see are with the number 19.
No.
That's it.
That's on the official team shop.
Just for the year. No, just
yes,
for the year.
That's from the team shop. I do not see, and I don't even see the option to customize.
Man, you should be able to get one of those.
I'll just take out a magic marker, and I put Manziel on the back.
Do you have to help them with everything over there, Jeff? I mean...
Oh. Yeah, no, for me. I'm going to do it for me.
Oh.
I haven't typically worn jerseys. As this may surprise you, I'm not really a jersey wearing guy.
I want a Johnny Manziel jersey.
But it is hilarious. I mean, this is the city, as I wrote in my column, where Allen Iverson, we came, we had a huge press conference, we gave him a guitar, and 3 weeks later he quit. The city where Mike Tyson, at the end of their career, came. First he was beaten up by Lennox Lewis, and then he showed up at the next fight, with a towel around his head,
mm-hmm.
and he wouldn't show his face.
He got the new tattoo.
He had the new tattoo,
yeah.
And then he beat Clifford Etienne.
Mm-hmm.
Roy Jones Jr. had a fight towards the tail end of his career here, and he was pummeled and defeated. And so, like, we have some experience in this department.
Could you not right now? Like, I'm just like, you know me. I'm not exactly
I'm not exactly
the eternal optimist, and I'm trying to be optimistic here.
Tyson beat Etienne. Like, Tyson did.
There
beat
we go.
Etienne.
Better.
So that happened, and it's funny. Like, I told all the jokes, as many jokes as I could think of, in my first column, and yet I ended up with at the place of. Of course, I'm going to enjoy this, and of course, back to what back to what I said about John Kilzer. I'm going to root for the guy to do well on a personal level, like I do with anyone who still has demons, and he very clearly has demons. And there's stuff in there that's not very savory, particularly the domestic stuff. that you can't just listen. It's one thing to act a fool, to sneak off to Las Vegas wearing a wig and party under the name Billy Vegas. Is that what it was, Jeffrey? You probably followed. It was Billy Vegas,
allegedly.
Right? Yeah. So
I'm on Team Manzi. I'm back on the payroll here. You're not going to get a lot out of me here. I'm on the PR run.
It's one thing to do that. It's another thing to have the accusations about how he treated his girlfriend. Was
Colleen Crowley. I don't believe they were engaged. It was a tumultuous relationship, to say the least.
Right. And that does not appear that he – I actually couldn't – I think what happened was is he had to do some anger management classes and stuff, and then ultimately it was dropped. But
yes.
I don't think it was just – these things were not just dismissed. I think he pled or something, and then I'm making this up. So, but I think in the end he did do anger management and whatnot. But it was not – this stuff was not found to be meritless. And so that's not very savory. And so I don't root for that, but I do root for a guy who has great talent and is trashing it because of addiction and what he has described as a bipolar disorder. I root for that guy to figure it out. And so if in the end he figures it out, we get some entertaining football from him in Memphis, but more to the point, he then goes and gets back on an NFL roster. I will think that is a good thing, there is no chance I would have gone to another Express game, but for the arrival of Johnny Manziel, and I think that's true of most Memphians. Most Memphians, of course, haven't been to the first Express game, but this is an electric bolt for that franchise, which has been inept since the beginning, and now Johnny Manziel falls into their laps, and there is real excitement, and there should be, even if it's just let's go see Johnny sort of curiosity excitement, that beats the heck out of the sort of rolling your eyes at the Express and Hackenberg and Singletary. Like, could we have gotten a worse team? And now you got Johnny Manziel, and everything's changed.
Yes. Okay. So I'm reading up on the actual incident. So it stemmed from on February 5th, 2016, the Dallas Police Department announced they are opening a criminal investigation with a claim of domestic violence against his ex-girlfriend, Colleen Crowley. Dallas police had originally closed the case, but reopened it with allegations stemming from an altercation on January 30th, 2016, at a downtown Dallas hotel. According to Crowley, Manziel forced her into a car, pulled her by her hair, and threatened to kill both her and himself. According to ESPN and NFL Network, the incident was the last straw for the Cleveland Browns and was a factor in the decision to cut ties with him. On April 24th, Manziel was indicted by a Dallas grand jury on a misdemeanor assault charge for the incident. On June 26th, 2016, Manziel's attorney, Bob Hinton, accidentally sent a lengthy text message to the Associated Press relating to Manziel's defense in the domestic violence case. In the message, Hinton expressed concern about Manziel's ability to stay clean, saying that he was given a receipt that suggests Manziel spent about $1,000 at a drug paraphernalia store on the same day Manziel's father, Paul, told ESPN he's a druggie. Yeah.
Man.
And then on December...
I mean, I think the point you made on my show is that if you look at the timeline... Dallas, I think it was, I don't know, the Fort Worth Star, where I saw it, Fort Worth Star Telegram or Dallas News, Morning News or wherever. The timeline of transgressions and craziness from Johnny Manziel is incredibly long and complicated and involved. There's not a lot on it recently. Now, that's probably because he hasn't been in the spotlight recently. It's probably because he's been in Canada recently. But I don't know when the last actual, obviously he was banned from Canada, the Canadian Football League, but that may have simply been contractual. We don't have any view that was based on any kind of misbehavior. He just may not have wanted to play in Canada anymore, and they wanted to get out and play in the U.S. And so, in terms of actual arrests, fights, brawls, acting a fool, I don't know when the last one was. I don't know, and I don't know that it was particularly recent. I think there hasn't been one that. I could be wrong, but I don't recall a recent one.
No, I mean, as someone who's still, you know, when you break up with someone, you still kind of keep tabs on them.
I do.
You know what I mean? I've done that with Manziel. I'm not saying I was ready to take him back until Saturday when he showed up on my doorstep, he had me at hello. Like, that's just what it was. He had me back at hello, and I'm all in on this, mainly because I'm super bored, and it's April, and now that we have one of my, or we're getting into April, it's the NCAA tournament. This is a great weekend, but after that, Johnny has my full attention.
Oh, for Memphis, it was turning out to be a grim day. I mean, the Express was losing again. The Tigers were very clearly losing to Houston if we're not going to go to the NCAA tournament. So we got the NIT to extend things a little bit. The Memphis 901 FC did score a goal, and we have that. That's going to be fun into the summer, although it's not going to be talk radio every day, right? We are approaching a – and then the Grizzlies, I know there were various people who were ready to say that they're a playoff team, giddy as they were about the new players on the team. They've since lost to the Wizards, having already lost to the Bulls twice and the Cavs. And I mean, then, you know, let's be serious. We still have the curiosity of whether they're going to be able to convey or whatnot. But let's be honest, they're not a juggernaut. It has waned the interest in the Grizzlies. Let's say that we do have the off season, but basically, yeah, we're kind of looking for interesting stuff now. And out of the blue, who drops into our lap? One of the most, and he is. Maybe some people are bored. Maybe some people say he's not. But let's be clear. It's a national story. As soon as Jimmy Butler talks tomorrow, and then when he throws a pass, it is a national story. When he played his first game for the Alouettes, it was the highest rated CFL game on ESPN ever. Of course it was. And so people can roll their eyes and say, I'm sick of Johnny or whatever else. But they watch, and they care, and they pay attention. And he's also, by the way, not 34. Like, this isn't some washed-up athlete. If he actually could get his head on straight, he's only 26 years old. And he could still do some things. And I think he could still get back into the league. We know that tater-tot quarterbacks are all the vogue now. Mm-hmm. And so if he actually could get his head on straight, prove himself to be productive and non-disruptive and all of that, he could get back into the league.
I'm now at the point where I know we discussed it on the show this morning about whether or not he should play on Saturday. And then there's the idea, okay, well, he at least needs to get snaps. No. I've decided if he does not start on Saturday, I am starting Monday morning on every show that I can get my name on this radio station. I am starting a Fire Mike Singletary campaign. Because at this point, it doesn't matter. This is not a playoff team. There's nothing interesting about this team. Play Manziel. Like, give us something to watch. Like, I've decided that is now going to be my cross to bear. Like, if you cannot...
It's a movement.
If Singletary will not play him Saturday, this organization should find someone that will.
I think just like you and I had decided that the only reason Christian Hackenberg was playing was that there was some kind of an agreement. This was out of their hands. This was an agreement with Christian Hackenberg and his agent or whatever, because there's no way you could watch him play and say he deserved to play as much as he did. I think this league, let's be clear, it's not run like the NFL. Each individual entity is not its own entity.
Correct. It's not the franchise model.
There is one employer here, and the employer is the league, and they are... and that's it. And everybody works for the same group. They do compete on the field, but beyond that, they're just separate arms of one entity. Whether he plays or not, I would predict, is up to Bill Polian. And so, and maybe it's very possible that one reason they didn't have the press conference today, in addition to sort of having him coaching him up in terms of what he might say, is they might want to answer that question tomorrow. They might want to give at least some hint of what's going to happen. Is he going to start? Is he going to not start but get snaps? Is he going to whatever? And they might have actually wanted to see a day of practice before they made that, just before they addressed that with the public. I think that makes some sense. Let's get him have a day of snaps under and see what this looks like, and then we'll have a better sense as to what we can say about whether he will play or start or whatever. But I don't think in the end that decision is going to be a
necessarily an express decision. I think that decision will probably be a league decision with input from, you know, perhaps even how today went.
I mean, don't, if I'm running this organization, here's what I'm doing. I'm having this press conference. I'm streaming it on everything. And at the bottom, there's going to be a click link to buy. And I'm announcing as my starting quarterback.
Well, when you quarterback, say what organization? If you're running what organization? Like I said, the Express people don't run this organization.
Right. Let me phrase it. If
so
I'm running this press conference.
If you're running the AAF,
correct.
You're saying, Memphis people, here's what we're doing.
Yes.
We now have a commodity.
Uh-huh.
Before this, the only commodity we had was Trent Richardson.
Yep.
And he's not really a commodity. He's fat. Like, is he fat still, by the way?
He's not really fat, but their only commodity.
Was he ever fat? What was the problem with Trent Richardson?
Vision.
Did he get fat? What?
Vision. There was the idea, supposedly, that he had really bad ADHD and that Saban was able to control it and help him with his medication. And as soon as he got away from Saban's grasp, that he struggled. But, like, some of my favorite internet memes are Trent Richardson finds the hole, and then you'd see these pictures from the end zone cam where there'd be these massive, like, holes that look like the parting of the Red Sea, and Trent Richardson was running the other direction. Like, that was kind of the issue. Eddie Lacy was more of the Alabama running back that struggled with his weight.
Yeah, he was right. Yeah. And actually, there was a lovely story about him struggling with his weight and how difficult that was for him to
Kevin Van Valkenburg,
be mocked for being – did that piece. Yeah. But anyway, so they really had no commodity, and now they have a commodity.
We have breaking news into the studios from the Memphis Express.
Oh, good.
Okay, so they
brought to you by Mercedes-Benz.
I at-tweeted the Memphis Express about the Manziel jerseys. It says, stay tuned. So
yes, this is what I'm saying.
There we go.
Jeff, I would do this tomorrow. Like, I would have
all aboard.
I would have
all aboard.
I would have
all aboard.
I would make a very public statement. I'd make a very public statement. And if you're streaming it online, I would have a click link to buy in which you could buy Manziel jerseys. You could buy tickets for Saturday. Like, I'm going all in. We have a star. You're gonna see him.
All aboard.
Let me ask you that. Is that Fred or Johnny? Is that Fred or Johnny to start him the first game?
Yes, 100%.
Sunday night, 7 o'clock.
Because because here's the deal. I've watched almost every game. I didn't get to watch Saturdays. I've watched almost every game of the Express thus far.
Very
sadly.
Mike Singletary is known for, like, it's the playbook is.
I'm sure.
God.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that offense is not what I would refer to as a complex scheme.
Hey, in the pictures they tweeted, that is Singletary catching the passes, a couple of them from, like, if you look at the last one that they tweeted 2 hours ago, where it says, I'm excited to get back to the basics of football, which sounds like a Singletary quote, he's throwing with a sock-hatted Mike Singletary in that picture.
I think in one of these pictures, Singletary's, like, snapping him the ball, like, underarm snapping it.
They're out on the field together.
I don't think that's a good sign.
No, I don't either.
They're bonding on the field.
It's the same thing.
That means they have him off to the side working with Singletary as opposed to actually throwing to players.
You know what this is, Jeff? This is Hugh Jackson. This is my whole Hugh Jackson, Baker Mayfield nightmare all over again. I didn't want Baker to play this year originally because I didn't want Hugh Jackson's hands on him. It's the same thing with Singletary. Like, when I'm very delicate.
You think he's gonna ruin it?
I'm very delicate in this comeback season. I do not need Singletary to ruin Johnny. Like, listen, we're on the comeback path. It starts here in the 901. It starts down at the Liberty Bowl. Like, I need him out of here.
Can you imagine when he goes to the NFL, if somehow the rehab situation works and he goes, you know what, I want to thank Coach Singletary. It was him who led the path back here to the NFL.
I want to thank Jeffrey for never giving up on me. Never once giving up on me. Yeah, he went dark on Twitter for me.
I want to thank the city of Memphis.
Yes,
thank the city of Memphis.
For getting me back on the straight and narrow. If I wouldn't have been able to do it without Memphis.
Yep.
Only in the movies and in Memphis.
Exactly.
All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you. Bye.
That is, of course, Jeff Calkins.
A lot of stuff there.
I had an unexpected awesome weekend, and we'll explain it all when we come back right here on the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Here at 92.9 FM ESPN, we realize it's that special time of your life where you don't do much of anything except do brackets. And women, well, they like brackets too. But for dudes, it's a special time to focus on winning, on the majesty that is the college basketball tournament, and a time where they get vasectomies. Get in the book at Horseshoe Bracket Challenge, presented by Papa John's, now at 92.9ESPN.com. And don't forget that bag of frozen peas there, Tank.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
All right, Brad, I mentioned at the beginning, or at the end of last segment, that this weekend was one of those surprise, really good weekends for me. And I'll explain why. As you could probably tell throughout the course of the show, Johnny Football and I, we have some roots together.
Yeah, you're not giving up on him. You never given up on him.
Well, there was a time. There was definitely a time where I had to.
Domestic stuff.
It was more getting cut from the Browns. I definitely had to block his phone number.
Yep.
But I definitely already had his phone number memorized, so it didn't really matter if I blocked it. I left my DMs open just in case. Right. Yeah, I wanted to be able to control the situation.
Yeah, you didn't.
Yeah, so I left. You know what I mean? Like
I see.
I decided that I decided it wasn't healthy for both me and Johnny after the whole Cleveland fiasco and whatnot, and I just decided, you know what, for the good of both of us, I'm gonna let this birdie go.
Sure,
I'm gonna let it go, and then of course, if he comes back, well, then we'll adjust accordingly.
Sure.
And then Saturday night, of course, develops where San Antonio did have the rights to Johnny Manziel.
Yep.
San Antonio has another one of my favorite MAC veterans in Logan Woodside at quarterback. They said, we don't really need a quarterback.
We're set there.
Mm-hmm. We're going to waive the rights. And therefore, the Express, who, based on record, had the first waiver claim, they make the claim. Mm-hmm. By about 8 o'clock, it had become official. I believe Mike Florio was the first to report it, and off we were.
Yep.
And then I started going through all the gifts that I had saved of Johnny Manziel, and I just started going back and remembering the good times.
Sure.
And I just decided, you know what? Why not give it one more shot? Why not?
I love it. Now, you'll have to wait for the jersey, though, apparently, according to the folks at the Express. They're working on that.
Right. The Express haven't had a jersey to sell yet, so.
Now, we have one.
Be more to come. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Hashtag click to buy. So then, Saturday, I was a little apprehensive at first, but by the end of the night, I was all in.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, that little Irishman, that little itty-bitty Irishman who also, just like Johnny, just like Baker, kind of makes my heart skip a beat. When he starts strutting around, Rory McIlroy yesterday just went and absolutely just took my breath away at times. And on St. Patty's Day, no less.
I forgot about Rory, yeah.
And it was just really, it was a great day. Yeah. It was a great day for everything coming up little fella yesterday.
$2 million payday for him.
$2.25 million payday. Yeah, there's something Roy really needs is more cash. And he's apparently having he's getting a new house down in Palm Beach Gardens.
Of course.
So
he'll probably buy one on Southwind just for his trip here.
Yes, so his lovely wife, Erica, had already arranged a meeting with the interior decorator.
Yeah.
Hashtag always be closing. But it was just a great weekend for me. My boy, I've had to sit here and go through the Jordan Spieth era, Brooks Koepka, all of this rush of new players, and everyone's been wanting to knock Rory down a peg. And then yesterday, he goes off and he finishes the biggest non-major of the year. Really brings it all full circle for me.
Congratulations.
You know what? In our darkest hours, I was sitting there looking. It's like, oh, God. We've got the NBA playoffs coming. The Warriors are going to win another one. LeBron's not even going to be in the playoffs. We're not even going to have the Jordan versus LeBron debate. Things were looking rough. Things were looking dark. Now I've got an entire major season with Rory coming up. We've got Johnny Football back in the fold. Again, if they do not play him on Sunday night, we all agree as Memphians, we are all coming together.
Off board.
And we are making sure Mike Singletary no longer is the coach. Until they find someone that will play Johnny Football, we are officially hashtag done with Singletary.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.